Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Claudia McNeely, that is the Reverend Claudia McNeely, who is a Master Energy Healer, Clairvoyant Psychic, Medical Intuitive and author with more than 15 years experience, and her newest book is titled Thoughts on Spirituality, Healing and the Law of Attraction. And she has recently introduced a new healing technique called Divine Blueprint Reconnection, which we shall discuss during the program. So welcome to the program, Claudia.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, we're very pleased to have you, and I can see you're quite an experienced person in the sense that you have all these different methods of healing that you've developed. Just looking at your psychic side, were you always psychic, say, as a young person?
Not really. My first memory as a child was an out-of-body experience, but that's the only psychic memory I have from being a child. I was interested in it, but I never really got into it until after I had my daughter. And she was born critically ill, profoundly handicapped. And in searching for ways to help her, I got onto this path and got into learning about healing and psychic abilities and all that. And that's basically when I got started.
All right. So you developed to do psychic work or clairvoyance then without having actually felt any inclination to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's like, you know, I took a few classes on psychic development, you know, and healing and all that, and it's like I remembered having done it before, and, all of a sudden, boom, I was able to do it. It didn't take a lot of practice, you know, it's like I needed to be reminded.
Yes.
But that it was something that I had always done forever and ever.
I wouldn't be surprised, so... I'm guessing you probably believe in reincarnation, so you may well have had experience of this before.
Of course, yeah, I do, you know, I have a lot of memories of past lives where I was a healer, a shaman, a medicine woman, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It is something I did many lifetimes.
Yes. Well, I mean, the fact that you do past life readings to people means you could hardly do that unless you believe in them.
You know, that was something that came so naturally to me. And I thought everybody could do that. And it wasn't until, you know, I found out that other people aren't able to do that. And it really surprised me. The one thing that really sold me on past lives was when my son was young. And when he was first starting to talk, he would tell me, fireworks are dangerous. And I'd say, they are, and he'd say, yeah, they're dangerous. And I'd say, okay, so that would be the conversation. And that went on for probably 2 years. And when he was four, he started the conversation with me again, fireworks are dangerous. I said, they are. He said, yeah, they got on my head and killed me, and you made me a new one. Mm. And that just, you know, for that to come out of a four-year-old mouth convinced me that, yes, past lives really do exist. And he told me that he was a young boy in Vietnam by the name of Lu Li, and fireworks, bombs, got on his head and killed him, and then I made him a new one.
Well, I never, yes.
So I thought that was a very fascinating experience.
Oh, I bet, yes. As he grew up, did he tend to forget those type of memories?
When he was in second grade, I got called to the school because they were discussing memories. So he started telling all the kids about his past life memories. And we're in the middle of the Bible Belt, so that didn't go over very well. He has grown up with amazing abilities. He remembers a lot of his past lives. He's an amazing young man.
Hmm. Right. Very, very interesting. He obviously came into the right family with you there as a mother.
Yes. The only thing that I regret is having put him in public school because you know, the kids teased him and he shut down a lot of his abilities. And he's having to now try to open them back up. And that's my only real regret.
Right, yes. Now, you do psychic readings and you say they will help people to understand where they are, where they want to be, and how to get there.
Right.
What do you generally find that is within people's ambitions? I mean, is it purely for material things, or do you get a lot of people that are searching spiritually?
There's a combination. You know, the main questions people have usually have to do with money, relationship, and health. Those are the main questions. A lot of psychics give us a bad name. Really, they tell a person what they want to hear instead of, you know, what's really going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, then these people are real upset. Mm. I don't do that. I cannot do that. I prefer to help a person. You know, we create our reality. This is the most important thing that anybody can learn in this day, is that we create our reality. If there's something that we want, we can go out and we can make it happen. So this is how I like to work with my clients when they call for a reading, is, you know, what is it that you want and what can you do to help create what it is that you want? I do predictions, and I'm told that I'm very accurate in my predictions, but I also tell people it's up to you. You know, you can make anything that you want happen.
Yes, indeed. Well, I notice amongst your list of various subjects that you deal in, you talk of a law of attraction cruise. What is that?
That is a cruise that's being put on by Law of Attraction Radio. It's a cruise. There's going to be 12 speakers, and we're all speaking on the law of attraction and how to have what we want in our lives. It's going to be leaving San Diego on November 6th and going to Ensenada, Mexico. It's going to be such a wonderful time. It's a four-day cruise. 12 seminars, and the price is $550, but I'm giving a $200 discount to anybody that signs up with me. So it's $350 for the cruise and 12 workshops. It's a really good deal. Plus, nice. I'm also giving a free Divine Blueprint reconnection session to anybody that signs up, which is a $350 value. So basically, they're getting the cruise for free. So it's a really good, I'm really looking forward to it. I feel very honored to be one of the speakers.
Yes, sounds very good indeed. Now, you also talk of alternative healing sessions that you can carry out to release long-standing health or emotional issues. What do you mainly find are the emotional issues that people have that cause them real problems?
Oh, there can be so many. Every person is different. It can be a memory from a past life. It can be a memory from this life. It can be belief systems. It can be injuries that you've had in other lifetimes that have carried over through different lifetimes. There's just so many things that it can be. I'm able to do so many different types of healing. I do inner child work, energy healing, I can do psychic surgery, spirit depossession, getting rid of entities that are attached to people, removing implants, the list just goes on and on of things that I'm able to do. And it just all depends, you know, on what it is that's going on with the person. If we have an alien implant, which a lot of people don't believe in them, but if there's an alien implant, it can be causing pain. And you remove the implant, and the pain goes away. There's just so many different things that are involved in it. I've been on this path of healing myself for about 25 years, and I'm still working on it. You know, it's a never-ending thing, I think.
Right.
Plus, I have a lot of techniques. Go ahead.
Yeah, carry on. Yes, carry on.
I have some free techniques that I offer on my website to teach people how to heal themselves, because I think it's really important that people learn to do as much of the work that they can for themselves. instead of having to go to somebody else to have it done.
Yes. I was interested that you mentioned psychic surgery because some years ago when I was suffering from angina, I went to a psychic surgery, or surgeon I should say, and he was quite well known in England, and he sort of ran his hands not on my body but over my body and made some movements that suggested he was doing something inside my chest, but I have to say I never felt that there was any benefit from that. Now, what type of psychic surgery do you do?
What I do would be similar to that. I go in and I look energetically and can fix things sometimes. I mean, you know, sometimes it's not meant to be fixed. Mm. You know, we have to, and sometimes the person isn't ready to let it go or they still haven't learned the lesson that they need to learn from the problem. But, you know, there was one guy that I was working with, and his legs, his knee had been hurting. It was really getting hard for him to work. So I found a past life where he was in the Civil War, and he had fallen by a creek. And I don't know if it was a rock or a tree had gotten on his leg, and he couldn't get his leg out from under. And the only way he could get loose was to cut his leg off.
Okay.
And so what I did was I went back into that lifetime, did psychic surgery to reconnect his leg, brought him back up to this lifetime, and his leg never hurt him again.
Hmm.
There was one girl that I was working with who had been trying to get pregnant and had not been able to, and I found a blockage in both her and her husband, and I psychically went in and cleared out those blockages, and she had a baby boy. So, you know, there's a lot of things that can be done. I've helped people with broken legs or feet to get the bones aligned properly, and it's helping to heal faster, things like that.
Right. Well, your first story was quite amazing there about that person's knee.
That was amazing.
Can you actually see into the body when you're doing psychic surgery then?
Yes.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
I suppose if you couldn't, it would be rather difficult to do what you do. Right. I'd like to move on to your feelings prayer. You said that is one of the most powerful self-healing techniques you've found.
Yeah.
What is a typical feelings prayer? What is the essence of it?
The feelings prayer is a way to release. To me, everything has an emotional beginning. And if you heal that emotion, then it gives the body a chance to heal. So the feelings prayer allows you to go through and heal whatever the emotion is that you're dealing with. I've gone and you know, taken a lot of classes to learn a lot of different techniques. But the one technique that I use the most on myself is that feelings prayer. It's really easy to memorize. It doesn't take very long. And then you can use it just whenever you need to use it. I've used it on my kids when they were crying, and I couldn't figure out why. It has worked wonders. I use it on my dog. You know,
yes.
It is a phenomenal technique, and it's just so simple. It's just a simple prayer. You ask your spirit to go to your beginnings and locate whatever the cause is of what's going on, if you have a headache or if you're feeling sad or if, you know, you don't have enough money or whatever, and then to heal it and bring you back up to present time with it being healed. And it's such an amazing little technique.
Hmm. Sounds quite straightforward and not complicated. Is this a prayer that you've made up yourself?
Originally, I got it out of a book called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. But in rereading that book recently, I realized that the prayer no longer even comes close to what was in that book. I've rewritten it so many times and changed it so much. But originally, that's where I got the idea from it. But over the years, I've changed it and evolved it, and it's not even similar to that prayer anymore. But that's what it was based on.
Yes,
and that is a very good book. The Feelings Buried Alive Never Die is a wonderful book. I highly recommend that book to people.
Right, yes. Now, you talk about psychic protection. Can you give us an idea of how you recommend people do that?
Psychic protection, that, you know, people don't realize in the metaphysical community how important psychic protection is. They think as long as they put a bubble of light around them, they're going to be fine. And for some people that may be true, but there's, you know, we have a whole group of kids coming up who have such phenomenal psychic abilities, but they don't have the morals that go along with their abilities. And when I was learning, what got me involved in psychic protection, about 10 years ago, I was attacked by a group of 27 people. There were vampires, Satanists, and voodoo people. And they literally tried to kill me. And in learning to protect myself and the people that I studied with, there was a lot of these really highly advanced kids in this group. And these kids would sit in a restaurant and try to give somebody a headache just to see if they could do it. Or sit in, you know, try to give somebody a heart attack just to see if they could do it. And that's really scary to me that we have kids walking around doing things like that. But so it's really, really important that we learn to protect ourselves from this. On my website, I have a technique for building a psychic shield around yourself. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you make the shield multi-layered. You can put your little bubble of light, but then on top of the bubble of light, you can put one layer that has like a foam material so that if something hits it, it'll bounce back off of it. You can make one layer mirrors. You can make one layer crosses if you believe that crosses are powerful. You can make the layers spin and move, or you can put sounds in different layers. But the more layers that you have, the more effective the shield is going to be. And these people that I trained under or with, if they come up with somebody that has a shield like that, they won't even try to mess with them. They'll just go away and leave them alone. And so that is a very, very powerful way of protecting yourself, to build that multi-layer shield where people can't get through.
Hmm.
You know, we have psychic vampires who purposely go and steal other people's energy. You know, this is a reality, and we have to accept that reality is out there.
Right. I've never experienced a psychic attack myself, although I do remember some years ago, after I had shortly gone to bed and turned the light out, I distinctly felt something, and it might have been an animal, run across the top of the bed, like across the pillows.
Mm-hmm.
That frightened the life out of me. And it was a definite feeling of weight being pressed on the bed as whatever it was ran across the top.
Yeah, I have those kind of experiences all the time. That's normal for my life. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably not a psychic attack. In a psychic attack, somebody is literally trying to hurt you. I had some girls come in one time. Their mother was in the hospital. She was literally dying, and the doctors couldn't figure out why. And I saw somebody had done some voodoo to this woman. And so I removed what had been done to her, and within a week she was out of the hospital and fine, and the doctors never could figure out what was wrong with her. But you can kill somebody using energy. Just as you can heal them, you can hurt them.
Yes,
so you have to be able to protect yourself. And, you know, it would be really nice if everybody in the spiritual community were really in the light and really spiritual beings. But there's a lot of them out there doing healing work and psychic work who really aren't that, you know, really nice people. And they do steal energy and try to hurt people. And we need to be able to protect ourselves from things like that.
Yes. The power of thought is clearly a lot stronger than what people believe. And as you're rightly pointing out, you can use that for better or worse. Now, when I do my own work, I call on Archangel Michael because I read once that if you call upon him, you can get the protection of angelic warriors. The only reason I'm mentioning that is because I believe you speak with angels. Now, tell me what that means.
I'm just able to hear the angels, to talk to them. I use them all the time in my healing work. there's lots of times when I'm working on people, I don't necessarily know exactly what, you know, is going on with the person. So I ask the angels to come help me because they do know. And, you know, they lead me to do things that I have no idea what I'm doing, but I do it and it works. And that's all that matters is that it works. So they help me a lot in my healing. I work a lot with Michael and Metatron and Raphael and a lot of the angels.
All right.
Yeah.
You said Metatron there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know whether you read his messages on the internet, but of late I've seen some excellent messages come through him in question and answer sessions.
I've noticed that there has been more on the internet lately about Metatron. It's like with the energy shifts that we've recently gone into, it seems like Metatron is stepping more to the forefront lately.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I agree with that. Now, you also say you work with guides. What is the difference between the help you get from angels, say, from guides?
I think that the angels give a higher level of energy. They help me more with the healing work. The guides more, I think, give me information about the person and help with more mundane things than the angels do.
Right. How do you actually tune into a person? Because you obviously aren't walking around all day just automatically tuning in. What do you do to make the link?
All I need is a person's name. I really don't need to do anything special. I can usually just tune in. All I need is a person's name, and I can tune into their energy. The same way with somebody that's deceased, just with a name, I can usually get them and get a message from them. You know, I know a lot of people talk about that they have to meditate for 30 minutes, and I've never had to do any of that. When I'm out and when I'm not working, I shut that ability off because I don't want to tune into everything that's going on with everybody. So I am lucky enough to be able to turn that off when I don't want to use it.
Right, yes. You mentioned a bit earlier about how you relate past lives with people's problems. Is there any particular one you've gone back into that was exceptionally unusual or interesting?
One of the first people that I did past life regression with went back to a lifetime when she was a rock.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the most interesting I've ever done. I've also had people go back to lifetimes when they were animals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was always taught that our soul never experienced that, but apparently it did.
Mm-hmm.
We've chosen to be everything. It really upsets people when you tell them that they've been a prostitute or they've been a murderer or something like that. But we all experience everything. We have to experience everything so that we can grow and mature. So, you know, we all have that in our past.
Yeah. Well, the truth is the truth, and if that helps them, even if they don't like it, that's it, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I think one of my favorite lifetimes was one when I was a prostitute. That's the one I remember the most. That was a lot of fun, you know?
Right. Now, what is soul retrieval?
Soul retrieval is very, very powerful work for anybody. As we go through our life, we lose pieces of our soul. For a 2-year-old, it can be something as simple as mom saying, no, you can't have a cookie. And that, you know, they wanted that cookie so bad that they lose a piece of their soul over that. So if you can lose a piece of your soul because mom said you can't have a cookie, think of all the traumas that you've had in your life and pieces, you know, all the really big pieces that we lose. You know, some people, by the time they're middle-aged, have half their soul missing. You know, it's just, we don't feel whole. Excuse me, we feel incomplete, we feel depressed, we're scattered, we don't feel focused. You know, there's a whole long list of things that you feel when you don't have your soul. And doing a soul retrieval brings back all those lost pieces and people are able to feel whole and complete again and able to move on in their life. It's just, that is one of the most powerful techniques that I've done in all my years of doing healing work. It has changed so many people's lives.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
What sort of problem would somebody come to you with that would indicate to you that that type of treatment or healing was necessary? I mean, what are the symptoms of it?
Almost everybody that I know of can benefit from a soul retrieval. When you have the piece of your soul missing, you feel lost, you feel depressed. You feel like you just have a piece of you missing, you know, especially after somebody dies. People say a part of me went with them because it really did. We feel like we have pieces of us missing. We feel like we can't focus. We can't do anything. Some people are real, have low self-esteem because of soul loss. There's a lot of different symptoms that go along with that.
Right. Now, I did say at the beginning of the program, when I introduced you, that we would talk about your new healing technique, Divine Blueprint Reconnection. So tell us what you can about that. How did you come about it, and sort of how does it work?
You know, I have no idea. That was one of those techniques that the angels gave me, and I had no idea what it was for, but it worked so tremendously. It has been so life-changing for everybody that I've done it on. I've got a huge, long list of things that I go through when I do the technique. It takes an hour and a half to do a session. I clear people's energy, and I work through all lifetimes, all realities, all dimensions. It's a multi-dimensional technique. And I clear energies. I remove any spells that have been done in any lifetime. Any entities that happen to be attached to the person from other lifetimes as well as this one. I'm trying to think of what, there's, like I said, there's this huge long list of things that I do. J seals, I remove J seals. That's something that's put in to keep us from being able to reach where we're supposed to be. Any blocks, any interference, any cords that are attached. And these can be attached from other lifetimes. They're not necessarily just from this one. And, I go through and I do all of these clearings and getting the person cleared. And then I do a technique that I created a few years ago called multidimensional chakra healing, where I go through each chakra and heal it multidimensionally. And then once I have them all cleared and the chakras cleared, then I am able to connect them to their divine blueprint, which is the purpose that we came into this life with, what we came into this life to do. And in just daily living, we get off of our path. So what this does, it puts you back on your path. I also do a soul retrieval multidimensionally as part of this. It's just a very, very powerful technique. People report such wonderful things after a session. One lady was telling me, I'm able to do this, I'm able to do that. And she goes, wait a minute, this is the I am, which I thought was really neat. But people say they're able to focus better. They know the next step that they need to take. One girl told me the other day she quit smoking. She just lost all desire for cigarettes and started exercising, which she hadn't been able to get herself to do. And it's amazing to hear the stories from people. I had one girl, it had been like a week since I had done her session. And I finally got an email from her, and she said, I only check my email about once a week. She said, but I started feeling better, and I knew you had to have done the work. So it's really amazing to hear all these reports from people about how wonderful that is and how much it changes their lives.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, you're talking of our divine blueprint. Wouldn't that also show you where perhaps some illness or problem has to be worked out by that person rather than being able to prevented or shorten it, say, by healing or your presence there? I mean, do you see that in divine blueprints and have to tell people sometimes that they've got to see this out themselves?
Not when I'm doing the session, but I have had some people come to me after the session and say, well, you know, I thought this would get rid of this. And, you know, I've had to explain to them that you know, what this does is it connects you with the your plan of why you came in. That doesn't mean that certain issues aren't part of your plan. You know, it may not be something we want to experience in the physical form, but our soul chose to have that experience. So it's not going to change everything. It's only going to change the things that align you with your blueprint.
Right.
Yeah.
They wish it would be better, but you obviously have limitations where that is concerned. Now, we must get round to talking about your new book. But when did that come out?
I published this this year, 2009.
Oh, did you? Right.
Yeah.
Did it take you long to write it?
This is basically a collection of things that I've been writing for the last 10, 15 years.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I decided to put it together into book form so that people could read it, because there's a lot of really good information in here.
Right. You talk in your book, evidently, of your thoughts on spirituality. Where are you leading people when you're talking about your thoughts? I mean, are you talking about the value of it, how people can use it themselves, or possibly both?
Yeah, both. You know, I want people to understand that we're creating our reality. We can create whatever reality that we want. And it's not, we don't have to accept what somebody else puts on us. And for us to take control of our life, to, you know, to know how to clear our energies, you know, some of this information in here, I tell people how to clear energies, to keep ourselves clear, to do the feelings prayer and keep ourselves healthy. All of that helps us in numerous ways, and it helps us to be able to create a better world, you know, and that's part of what's in here.
Right, I was interested.
And a lot of it.
Yes, carry on.
A lot of it is, you know, my daughter, as I said, was profoundly handicapped, critically ill her whole life. So a lot of the information in here, or a lot of the articles, have to do with things that I experienced with her and how I overcame them, how I didn't let the traumatic life that I had with her stop me from growing and becoming who I am, and I didn't give up. And I think that really helps people to read that, to know that you don't, you know, you can keep going. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can always overcome it.
Yes, indeed. What do you think about people trying healing without any training? Because I think most people who are interested in those type of subjects have ideas about it. I mean, do you believe, in fact, that everybody can do healing?
Yes. When we bump our knee, what's the first thing we do? We put our hand on it.
Hmm.
That's healing it. You know, we all have the ability. We just don't all know how to use it. And a lot of the kids now are coming in with such amazing abilities that they don't have to be taught. They just have them. You know, so I think those of us who are older, We were shut down as children. We were told not to do the, you know, things, and that stopped us from being able to use our abilities.
Right.
But we do all have the abilities of being a healer or being psychic. We just have them to different degrees.
Yes. Now, you've spoken just then about the latest generations of children or young people being perhaps somewhat more intelligent and aware of these things. Do you feel, as a lot of people believe, that we have had souls coming into incarnation that are the higher ones that they describe as indigos or star seeds and so forth. Are you into that idea?
Oh, yes. You know, the indigos, I don't think any children are being born anymore that are indigos. I think that we're indigos, you and I. I think the children coming in now, most of them that I'm seeing, they're what's called a rainbow, which are the children who,
yes,
they're just pure love. They're just pure love. They're just the sweetest beings I've ever seen. And then you have the crystal children,
yes,
who are so intelligent. Oh, they have such intelligence. And they're really a handful, and they're really a lot of fun. And these kids are just amazing, you know. And it's really sad because I see some of these kids who are crystal children who are in a family that has no concept of what a crystal child is.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids are so outgoing and so mischievous, and they get in so much trouble. And some of them are being really abused because their parents don't know who they are, what they are, how to handle them. And it's really sad.
Yes. Well, I suppose as time goes by, there do seem to be a lot of changes taking place. Perhaps people will become aware of their abilities and their value to us and allow them to help us in the ways that they can. Do you have any thoughts about the end of this cycle in 2012?
I see 2012, you know, the year 2000 was supposed to be this big cataclysmic event, and nothing happened. You know, we just went right on through it. And I kind of see 2012 as being the same way. I think that, you know, yes, we're going through a lot of changes energetically, physically, spiritually. I see the world becoming more loving. There's a lot of changes that are happening, but I don't see a specific date that there's going to be a change. You know, I think it's going to be a gradual thing. And I think we're already going through it, you know. So I really don't put a lot of emphasis on the year 2012 because I think the changes have already started. And
yes,
I think the changes are going to continue. And I do not, you know, so many people are saying the world's going to end in 2012. I don't see that. The world as we know it, you know, is already ending. But
yes,
I don't see a cataclysmic event.
I think there is some misconception about 2012, in my opinion.
Yes.
Because
I agree.
Although the Mayan calendar, which ends in 2012, is interpreted by some people as meaning the end of the world, I think Spirit had pointed out that it's the end of a cycle, and hence it's also the beginning of a new one. And the inference is that at that time, this is on December 21st, 2012, the planets and everything else in our solar system line up with the central sun, and there's going to be a burst of energy that will bring us all through a very special upliftment. So it's all part of our awakening and increasing consciousness. So
right.
I can understand if people think it's the end. It's rather hard to put in place. So I think you're basically right. It's already happening. But I have to feel there's going to be a big upliftment at that time. There has to be some reason why all these highly spiritual souls are coming into the earth, and it all seems part of the plan.
Yeah.
Now,
we'll
go back to some of the things you do now. I noticed one of the, which I have to ask you about, is spiritual house cleaning. Tell me about that.
You know, when people die, especially in our society, you know, because we're in a Christian society, and people are taught that when they die, it's going to be angels with harps and golden streets and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they die, that's not the way it is. So they don't know what to do. So
yes,
they just latch on to the first person walking by. Or they'll go back to where they lived or something like that. And
yes,
they don't mean to cause harm. All they're doing is trying to survive, and they don't know where to go, and they don't know what to do. So these entities can get into your home, and cause problems. They can cause you to have financial problems, health problems. You can hear noises, things like that. So what I do is I go through and I clear that energy out of the people's homes, send them to where they need to be. There's also earth energies, magnetic fields and underground streams and things like that I'm able to locate and clear. There may be portals to other dimensions that are allowing things to come through, that can be closed so that that doesn't happen anymore. There's just a lot of things, but it's really good to clear the energy, and it makes the house feel better, makes the people in the house feel better. And it works for business, too, to increase business, to make the business feel better.
Right. That sounds unusual. Now, you mentioned there portals, which interests me. There is what you call a portal. Some other people call a stargate. But do you believe that extraterrestrials sort of come into the solar system or the Earth through those orbs?
Yeah, they're here.
Have you had any direct experience of them?
Yes, I have.
Would you care to say anything about that?
There's been times that I'll be sitting in a restaurant and just kind of watching people, and I can see them change into their other form and what they actually look like, and it's obvious that they're not human, but yet physically they look human. I definitely believe that they're already here and they're right next door to us, and, I do believe they're here.
Now, that will make a few people think when you said they're right next door to us. Boy, you've upset a few people now.
Yeah, I know.
on a serious note, though, I have to say I must believe in ETs because I've been following UFOs and contacts for, over 50 years. When I first had a sighting in the late 40s during the Big Saucer Flat. So I do believe they are here, and I think they've been with us for a long, long time.
A very long
helping
time.
Helping us in different ways and helping Mother Earth as well.
Yeah. We don't always see them, They can be invisible, too. So what were you going to ask?
Oh, I was only going to say that did you have a personal contact with the ETs? I mean, you've seen people shift change, I think that's what they call it, but have you had any contact that was meant purely for you?
I have. There was a being that used to come to me quite often. His name was Xandar. And he was from a planet called Zolon. And he was with me a lot. I mean, he would come to me. He would help with healing, a lot of different things. And he told me that he was going to send somebody to me, and it was shortly after that I met my husband. And then he disappeared. So... Yeah, I have had that experience. But I think that my husband was him in this dimension, And then in some of my healing work, I use a group to help with removing implants. Because I don't necessarily know how to do that. So I have a group of ETs that I work with for removing implants.
All right. Yes. I have read a book and interviewed the person's wife, because the person involved in this has died in the meantime. But I'm talking, I think his name is David Devere, a person in Israel who ran, I think it was two clinics, and I think one might still be running in Brooklyn, who had an ET healing clinic. They came and they did did almost what you described as psychic surgery.
There's lots of times that, you know, I'll ask them to come do healing work on me. You know, I work with the Pleiadians and the Arcturians.
Oh,
and
do you? Right.
They do it. You know, you can feel the energy.
Yes. It's said that the Pleiadians are the ones that are more like us than any other civilization. So that's interesting. And have apparently had more to do with us over a long, long time in some sort of genetic engineering.
Yes. And I think a lot of us have some Pleiadian blood in us, you know.
Yes.
From what my understanding is, the Pleiadians, when they got dressed to go to work, their shoes and their pants were all hooked in one piece. So they didn't wear shoes unless they were going to work. And, you know, people that don't like to wear shoes have a lot of Pleiadian blood in them because they shoes represent work to them. So I thought that was interesting when I found that out.
Well, I can tell you I'm sitting here without any shoes on.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, it's funny, though, isn't it? I only do it in the warm weather, though. Yes. Oh, well, it's interesting that you also have knowledge and a belief in extraterrestrials in your background as well, because I'm sure that is of value. Do you come across that with any of your, what do I want to call them, not your patients, but the people that come to you, do you ever find that they have problems connected with that side of their life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been, you know, some people make contracts, agreements with extraterrestrials to let them do things to them in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And it can cause health problems. It can cause financial problems, you know, all kinds of things. And so, you know, I'm able to help them go back and change those contracts. You know, people abducted.
Yes.
They have an agreement with these people to do that.
Yes.
I mean, it does. I kind of have to be careful working with clients mentioning extraterrestrial stuff if I don't know for sure that they're open to it. Sometimes I'll just clear it and I don't tell them what it is that I cleared. Because, they, you know, some people don't understand it.
No. Well, of course, but what you said there... That what you said there, in effect, is by saying that people have agreements with these ETs to be examined, is that they're not actually abductions in that case, are they? Not strictly speaking.
Exactly. Because this, on some level, their soul has agreed to have the experience.
Although,
but that's true in any experience we have.
I mean, because they don't know, they often find the experience very emotional, very frightening.
Exactly.
Nevertheless,
exactly.
You're talking now, aren't you, of what they call the greys?
Yeah.
Right. Now, we've been having such a good time.
There's negative ETs and there's positive.
Beg your pardon?
There's negative ETs and there's positive ETs.
Now, it's been going along so very well. We're actually getting near to the end of my 55 minutes. And I want to give you a minute or two to tell us your website address, where they can obtain your book. And you may like to give them your email address, because I believe you're open to making contact that way. So the floor is yours for a couple of minutes.
Okay. My website address is askclaudia.com. askclaudia.com. And my email address is claudia@askclaudia.com. And, you know, I'm available to do readings or healing work. The cruise is coming up, so that's going to be a wonderful experience. So I look forward to talking to people. You can also register for a free reading on my website, and then there's all the other free information there.
Right. Do you give your telephone number out?
It's 903-576-9068.
Right, that's excellent. I must say, during the course of my interviews, and there are various types of people, I'm surprised at how many of them have some sort of contact with angels or experiences with them, and even individuals. And I can also speak in that sense of my own experiences. And I think they are obviously with us much more than we imagine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And people are starting to have more experiences. Normal people are having more experiences than they used to.
Yes. What's come up with the people I've interviewed lately is how they save us from injury or even death.
Oh, yeah.
If our life contract is meant to continue. So when we do something silly that could shorten our life, they invariably step in and we get these, what they call coincidences or lucky strikes or something.
Yes, it happens all the time.
So it would appear,
and I think it happens more these days than it used to.
Yes. Have you ever seen an angel, by the way?
Yes.
Do they all have wings? That's what I want to know. Do they all have wings?
Usually when I see an angel, it's just a really, really bright light, and I can't necessarily see a form. It's just very bright light.
Hmm. But you, you
but
sense...
But, you know, my daughter, I think, was an angel in human form, so I saw her.
Right, yes, yeah. Oh, that's very interesting. Look, it's been a marvellous time talking with you. I'm afraid your time is up, as they say, so I must thank you very, very much for coming onto the programme.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I wish you every success with your book.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I enjoyed it.
Right, well done. I'll take the last minute now just to tell my listeners who I've got coming along the following week. And that will be Philip Smith, who has written a book called Walking Through Walls, which is a true story about his father, who one day in the 60s suddenly discovered he could talk to the dead and heal the sick. And he left behind over 5,000 pages of spirit dictation, describing new and never-before-seen healing methods, and healed thousands of people in his lifetime. So that sounds, again, like a very interesting program. So I hope you can be with me, and thank you for being with me today. God bless you all.